Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello, everybody, on this July 10th, 2013, a day when New York Magazine and Streets blog report that the NYPD gave out more tickets last year for riding bikes on the sidewalk than for speeding in a car. Guess which kills more pedestrians? Yes, speeding, but by 81 to 0 last year, according to the New York City Transportation Department, but more tickets for riding bikes on the sidewalk. It's a day when a Reno, Nevada mother has publicly questioned a private gun sale to her mentally ill son. No background check was required when an on-duty Reno police sergeant, of all people, sold a Glock to the young man at a Starbucks at 4 in the morning. No background check required for a private sale. Now the mom, not wanting to be the next Mrs. Lanza, apparently, is speaking out, according to USA Today. And it's a day when New Jersey Democrats might soon realize there is a gubernatorial election going on. Let's talk about that. Matt Katz is with us. He writes the Christie Chronicles column for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Hi, Matt. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Great to be here.
I want to start on the Senate race, though, because that's definitely in the headlines. The Lautenberg family, the survivors of the late senator, have endorsed Frank Pallone, not Cory Booker, to fill the seat. Who exactly does the media mean when they say the Lautenberg family?
That would be this late senator's widow, Bonnie, and his four children.
And why Pallone, and why not Booker?
A couple of reasons. Late in life, the senator and Cory Booker had something of a falling out. Back in December, when Cory Booker announced that he would not run for governor, if you remember, there was a lot of speculation that he might face Christie this year. I released a video saying he was not running for governor, but he was going to explore the idea of running for the Senate, and that was Frank Lautenberg's seat, and Frank Lautenberg had yet to retire. Lautenberg took that as an affront. He actually suggested that Booker should be spanked for disrespect at one point. And even when he opted to retire and said that he wasn't going to run, he still didn't take a meeting with Booker and wouldn't endorse him and was still pretty cool to his candidacy.
So
Pallone becomes the obvious choice for the family, I think.
Little bit of payback. Is there polling in this race? Is Pallone emerging as the main challenger to Booker out of the four total candidates?
Not really. Booker is absolutely dominating. I mean, to give you a perspective of how much he's dominating the race, he has a larger lead in the Senate race than Christie does in his gubernatorial race. He's up by like 40. The poll this week had Booker up about 42 points. Pallone is in second place, but only polling at like 10%. And then the two other candidates are even less than that. Rush Holt, congressman, and Sheil Oliver, the Speaker of the Assembly, are in your single-digit territory. So we're coming up. I mean, this is a bizarre special election in August, and Booker seems to be cruising toward the nomination.
Do you happen to know in that polling if those are likely Democratic primary voters per se or just New Jerseyans around the state who might recognize Cory Booker's name a lot more?
That's a great question. I believe the numbers are for likely Democratic voters. They did a separate polling for the general election where Steve Lonergan is expected to be the Republican nominee, and Booker dominates in such a matchup. Pallone, I think, suffers from, and both of the congressmen really suffer from lack of name ID beyond their districts, whereas Booker has name ID across the state and really across the country.
Matt Katz with us. He writes the Christie Chronicles column for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And meanwhile, there is a Christie-related gubernatorial election going on, but you wouldn't know it from the way the Democratic Party is acting. You wrote an article about Democrats passing up two chances recently to sting Christie and help his Democratic challenger, Barbara Bono. Want to tell us those stories?
Yeah, sure. They're interesting. It's not necessarily that Democrats were trying to hurt Buono by doing this, although she has had trouble getting Democratic establishment support. But Both cases happened a couple of weeks ago. First, the budget was due June 30th. And the last couple of years, Democrats have had this knockdown, drag-out fight with Christie over the budget. That's lasted even beyond after the budget was signed. At one point, the Senate president cursed out the governor in a news story. I mean, this has been the center of their fighting with Christie. This year, they decided to quietly, behind closed doors, negotiate the budget. They passed the budget early. There was no major fight. If there had been a fight, and Buono would have emerged as the leader of the Democratic Party in the state, she would have been able to frame Christie as this cold-hearted conservative, as Democrats have in past years. And instead, she lost out that opportunity, and that opportunity to be in front of the microphone to frame him in that way. And the second thing that happened that same week was the Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage. Christie vetoed gay marriage. The only reason there isn't gay marriage in the state is because of Christie. And the Democrats could have potentially taken the momentum off of that Supreme Court case and did an override and tried to override the veto, Christie's veto. They said they weren't sure if they had the votes, and gay rights advocates were hesitant to have an override vote so quickly. But if they had done it, it would have propelled Buono's name recognition. It would have gotten her on the cable networks because she would have been the one. I think it's something akin to Wendy Davis, the state senator in Texas, mm-hmm. who sort of represented the pro-choice movement. Buono, in the aftermath of the gay marriage ruling, could have represented that pro-gay marriage movement against this, conservative Christie. And we might not get an override on that veto until after the gubernatorial election, if ever. So
I'll come back to gay marriage in a minute. What's in those silent budgets? Any bombshells or quiet compromises that avoid bombshells that might return next year?
Yeah, the one real quiet compromise is revenue numbers. The Democrats have been railing against Christie's revenue numbers, saying he is saying that we're going to have between $600 million and $1 billion more in the next fiscal year that the state really won't have. And he's doing that in order to pay for things that maybe we can't afford. And the Democrats have been hammering him on this for the past 12 months, and yet they decided to accept his revenue numbers this year. So we could see, if the revenue numbers do not meet his expectations, if the economy does not really rebound in the next several months, we could potentially see some cuts. There might be some wiggle room that people won't notice it, but we could see some cuts. And if the revenues do well, then we could see Christie revive his plan for an income tax credit that he wants to push, and that would really boost his conservative bona fides if he's able to do it.
So what's going on with both of these stories that you just told us? I mean, Democrats control both houses of the legislature. Are they just all afraid of Christie or what?
Well, you'd have to ask them, but, there's an indication that, you don't mess with a guy that's got massive, massive approval ratings. Nobody beyond Buono, no other major Democrat, would run against him for governor, even though several consider doing it. So there is an element, it seems, of political fear of going up against him. But there's also a few other things going on. First, certain Democrats, particularly in the South and some of the major power brokers in the state that really kind of control votes in the legislature, they agree with him on a lot of things. They're generally sort of ideologically, fiscally conservative. They want to cut public employee pensions. They want to cut. They want to force teachers to pay more for their health benefits. They want to build up charter schools. So there's some agreement. And then lastly, Christie's really good at politicking. I mean, the guy knows how to talk to these guys. It's amazing. He's gotten a lot of Democratic endorsements in the gubernatorial race. And you talk to Democrats, and one of the things they say is, well, he returns my calls. basic, just
good politics.
Hand-to-hand, good politics. And he's successfully went into a state that has mostly Democratic voters, that has a legislature controlled by Democrats, and he picked off certain legislators and power brokers that he knew he could work with. And there's been, you could call it good governance. Some of it is transactional politics. He's given them some things. They've given him other things. Some of those things have happened behind closed doors. Some of them have been very open. But he's just been good at working these guys.
But on his popularity, one of your articles mentioned a paradox, which is that Christie doesn't actually do so well in the polls on some very key issues. like property taxes, which are so central to New Jerseyans' quality of life, not to mention gay marriage and abortion. So why is he leading Cuomo by 30 points, and why does his popularity stay so high in light of people disagreeing or disapproving of his performance?
It's incredible. I think they really, really like him, and I think that comes from two places. First, the personality, the humor, the aggressiveness they relate to, and it comes across to them as real and legit and not political. And that seems somewhat refreshing, and that seems to engender some degree of trust in his leadership, and that he'll do the right thing. And the second reason, and this was reaffirmed by Sandy, was the way he dealt with Obama after Sandy. The fact that he was willing to praise a Democrat a couple days before a presidential election, that he was willing to appear with this guy, made your moderate New Jersey voters, some of your centrists or even Democrats, think that, maybe he's an okay Republican. Mm. I mean, these are Democrats who think that the Michelle Bachmans of the world are off their rocker. So then they see a Republican praising the president, and it was like shocking and refreshing, and they like it, and they trust him now because of it. He's got a third of Democrats in the state support him right now, and that's stemming almost entirely from Sandy.
And then it doesn't matter whether he's creating jobs or reducing property taxes. We would never have this relationship with our doctors, or our tax accountants like we have with our politicians. We never say that doctor failed to take out my gallbladder the right way, or my tax accountant blew my IRS refund, but I really like him, so I'm going to stay with him. Anyway, could Cuomo run a very economy-focused campaign? Loss of jobs, failure on property taxes? That's what voters care about in much bigger numbers than marriage equality.
She could, and I was talking to a political scientist earlier this week, and he's wondering why she hasn't. She's still talking about gay marriage and abortion, which are things that you talk about during the primary to get your base going. But the dirty little secret in New Jersey is these are next to impossible issues. A lot of people think that the only way to solve some of these issues is to get rid of the 500-some-odd municipalities and local governments we have in the state, and even more school districts. And by consolidating government and doing some major structural changes to the way government works, and that would take a lot, and the political pressure would almost be impossible for it to happen. So the dirty little secret is that it might be impossible to deal with these things, and she's yet to really offer any sort of definitive alternate plan other than kind of opposing the way Christie has proceeded here.
We have a few minutes left with Matt Katz, who writes the Christie Chronicles column for the Philadelphia Inquirer. So back to gay marriage. You wrote that gay marriage could be decided in New Jersey by as early as next month with no Christie fingerprints. How could that happen?
There's a case that's been kicking around a county court, a superior court down in Mercer County, related to the state civil unions law, saying it's unconstitutional, and that has now been fast-tracked due to the Supreme Court ruling. And there could be a ruling effectively legalizing gay marriage as soon as next month. And if gay marriage is legal in the state, then it doesn't become a liability for Christie anymore. I mean, it was seen as something of a liability since most New Jerseyans favor it and he opposes it. But I mean, if it's already the law of the land, then he can say, wait, what am I going to do? The courts, the activist courts that made their decision, and that's the way it is.
Right. So he gets a pass and New Jersey gets gay marriage under that scenario. And people assume that Christie is blocking gay marriage with his veto to help him run in the Republican presidential primaries in 2016. But you made a good observation in one of your pieces. It may already be a dead issue for 2016 because the Supreme Court threw out DOMA, which was the federal role in the issue. So is there no other way the Republicans can come at it in Washington in the future?
I guess they certainly could. I'm sure it'll certainly be part of their rhetoric. You could see something like a constitutional amendment push. But Christie is, I think he would he'd be reticent to go along with that. He's a pragmatic politician, if there ever was one, and he sees the poll numbers that indicate that this issue is going in the direction of pro-gay marriage throughout the country. And I think by 2016, we might see a totally different social issue that we're debating. I mean, it reminds me of prayer in schools, which you really don't hear much about anymore. I mean, gay marriage could become like that issue and something that's just that we move on from. And then Christie, that it's great for Christie. He avoids something that would have been considered sticky for him.
Yeah. Do you know if he's ever taken a position on a constitutional amendment to outlaw gay marriage? Because that is the only way to overrule the Supreme Court. And the true religious conservatives are already talking that up on the talk shows.
That's a great question, and I promise you I will ask him next time. Huh. Next time I have the opportunity.
All right.
I'll report back.
Report back. Matt Katz, who writes the Christie Chronicles column for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Great job. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, how the Bloomberg years have affected your housing choices. Stay with us.